Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial star star RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
People very excited. I mean, this is not a college football town by any stretch, but people are very excited for Syracuse and Notre Dame, later Yankee Stadium. Although, I don't care if you are Newt Rockne's great-grandson. Wait until you see the uniforms that the Fighting Irish are wearing in this game later. They look like somebody threw up all over an Andy Warhol painting. They are hideous. They are pinstriped. The helmets, you know, I mean, what is a more traditional helmet in all of sports than the gold-plated helmet for Notre Dame? Well, I hope you forget about what it is, because wait till you see what it is later. If nothing else, here's what I'm going to ask you. If nothing else, watch the game for a few minutes and tweet me how awful these Notre Dame uniforms are, because they are horrendous. All right, 800-919-3776. So we have a, this is the fun thing about this Saturday show, is we can move quickly and go all over the place, and we will. So we want to get into the Mets and the comments from Jeff Wilpon. We will. The Knicks and a 19-point lead last night that just slowly and expectedly slipped away. We will. The Giants and the fact that Odell continues to say they're going to run the table. Why not us? Kind of a statement. And you know what? As a huge Giants fan, and maybe this is wrong of me, I hope they lose. We will go there. The Jets. And I was just reading a tweet from Manish Mehta, who said that sources inside the Jets front office, not front office, I guess, in the walls of the Jets offices are very disappointed in Trumaine Johnson. And you have to be. I think he's making, what, $26 million this year? That's his salary, and you can't get rid of him next year, so we'll go there. But the Jets, thankfully, have a bye tomorrow. And that is how you know. And we'll start with the Knicks in a second. But that is how you know that this has been just a horrendous football season. The best part of this weekend between the Jets and the Giants is that the Jets don't play. That's the high, honestly, and I said it to Canty yesterday, almost expecting him to yell at me, and he sadly agreed with me. I said, watching the Giants at this point is work. Watching the Giants at this point is a chore. And he said, it is. I mean, I love them. You love them. But to sit there and watch a full Giants game, it's not fun. Yeah, they have some talent. Yeah, Barkley is immense talented. Yeah, Beckham does things you've never seen before. But to sit there and watch the Giants, even the Niners game, I mean, it took them every ounce of everything to get by a third-string quarterback in a bad football team. The Giants are not good. So if you have this mindset, and Odell seems to, get it out of your mind. All right, let's start with the Knicks. We'll move over to the Mets. We'll get to Machado and the Yankees. A lot to get into this morning. 800-919-3776. As you know, very interactive. Love the phone calls. We'll go all over the place. We got a Frenzy at 10. We got Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. We got RJ Bell right off the top at 11 o'clock. All the way till noon, so we'll get you all your gambling insight. And see, he's more than gambling. He's going to break down the nuances of the games. But let's start with the Knicks and what they were last night. And here's the thing. And this is the nice piece that David Fizdale gets to work with now. And that is, there's no pressure. So if you're the Knicks and you go out there and you have a 19-point lead on the road in New Orleans and you let it get away and you lose, you know what? As much as it kind of stinks, you don't put your head on the pillow as a Knicks fan after the game last night and think, oh, for God's sakes, I can't believe that happened. Because you kind of expect it to happen. Now, you'd like them to close it out, but I'm so torn. I'm watching the game with my 8-year-old last night. And he's going back and forth as I am. Do you want to win? Well, it's nice to have a 19-point lead and close out a game against a pretty good team. But on the flip side of that, do you want to win? Do you want to win these games? I know there are a lot of people that say, you know what, winning is good and find ways to get it done. I like playing the young guys. I'd like to know if Moutier has any kind of a future on this team. I'd like to see Frank Ntilikina play and see what he's capable of doing. I want to see. And you know what? I loved it last night. Mitchell Robinson. They left him isolated on Anthony Davis a bunch. You know what? Let's let these guys learn and play in a year that, truthfully, it doesn't really matter all that much. You know, rather than, you know, play Mitchell Robinson 8 minutes last night and let him, you know, dip his toe into the water and just get a little bit of run this year and then come back next year and have expectations. You know, let them play. I don't need to see Trey Burke. I know what he's capable of. Does it stink to blow an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter? I mean, do you want to win basketball games? Yeah, I guess so. You know, I'm not waking up today as a Knicks fan like I am if I'm a Raptors fan, who's all in now. When you look at what the Knicks are, I mean, this is what they are. I thought Moutier played well last night. I thought there were moments that Knox played well last night. You know, you played Robinson 24 minutes, had 7 rebounds, a block, I think 7 points as well. So you're getting at least to see, and isn't that better? Would you rather, here's the question for you. Would you rather win a game like last night and play Trey Burke, Hardaway, Cantor, 37-plus minutes? Or would you rather see Knox for 20 and Trier for 30 and Robinson for 25? See, that's what I'd rather have. Let the young guys play. Is this going to be a growing process? Absolutely. This is. I mean, we are in the midst of, you know what they say, the calm before the storm? This is it. This is the calm. Let's just quietly watch this season go along. They're going to lose games like last night. But honestly, and I don't know if you feel like this, and maybe you know, maybe this is just a me thing. Every day, every single day, I look at the worst records in the NBA. And I say, all right, Knicks and Chicago, both 4-12. Cleveland's got 2, so that's 1 team. Atlanta's got 3, so that's 2 teams. And Phoenix has 3. That's 3. There are 3 teams with worse records than the Knicks right now. And if it pains you and it makes you sick to your stomach to look at what the Knicks are right now, you know what? Watch Duke. Duke plays, I believe, tomorrow. What? Just watch Duke. Just watch R.J. Barrett. Just watch Zion Williamson. Just watch Cam Reddish. If you want to flip over to North Carolina and watch Nasir Little, just watch these kids. And just realize that every loss to a New Orleans or tomorrow night to an Orlando or any of these teams and the 18 or 20 or 24 wins this club is going to get this year, it gives you a better chance of landing Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, Nasir Little, and the list goes on and on and on. So rather than get focused on last night, I am so big picture with the Knicks right now. And for the first time in forever, feel like this team is slowly heading in the right direction. And the more that Draymond Green and Kevin Durant want to, we don't need you here, I might move on, this is why I'm leaving, I'm suspended, I don't like you, blah, 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 great. Add fuel to the fire. Let Draymond Green go on a huge talk show and say, we could win a championship without Kevin Durant. We don't need Kevin Durant. Dare him to leave. Because I saw the odds in Vegas, and right now the Lakers are the favorite, followed by Golden State, followed by the Knicks. So Vegas is telling you that if he were to leave, the Knicks right now, in their estimation, the second choice. I'll take that. 800-919-3776. So Knicks calls, bring them. We'll get into the Mets. You know, people are upset with what Jeff Wilpon had to say about DeGrom and Syndergaard. Why does that surprise you? Why would anything that the Mets brass have to say and upset you surprise you? It shouldn't. And we'll get into Manny Machado and the Yankees as well. And as someone, and you know this, not breaking any news, I don't like the Yankees. I respect them. I think they're a great organization. I can't believe a team has won that much. But I don't like the Yankees. As someone that doesn't like the Yankees, I would love nothing more. 10 years, $325 million for Manny Machado. Because you think You believe? You look at this team right now and the way they treated Stanton game one when he struck out five times? Just wait. Just wait until Manny Machado goes off the wall in a big spot and barely turns first base. So 800-919-3776. We have to cover a lot, and we will. So 800-919-3776. And can I tell you something really? This is really cool. So we do something similar to this, but not at this level. 98.7 ESPN's 12 Days of Giving starts this coming Monday in the Michael Kay Show. It's your chance to win $5,000. Tickets to the hottest holiday shows and VIP access to the Michael Kay Show big holiday party on Friday, December 14th. All you have to do is listen in the 3 and the 5 p.m. hours to have a chance to win. And it's starting soon, Monday, November 19th, only on the Michael Kay Show, only right here on 98.7 ESPN. So line up your calls, 800-919-3776. We'll go Knicks, we'll go Mets, we'll go Yankees, we'll go Giants, we'll go Jets. What we're doing? A melange of sports talk radio coming your way on a Saturday, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Brian, I want to ask you a question.
Go for it.
It's nice to have you here on a Saturday. You ready for this question?
Sure.
All right. Now take your time. If I wanted to win $100 on the money line on Alabama playing Citadel today, how much money do you think I'd have to risk? Now take a second. Think about it. So Alabama's playing Citadel. I want to win $100, but the bet I want to make is only on Alabama to win. How much money do you think I'd have to lay to win $100?
See, I'm not good with this betting stuff. I used to be a big betting man, huh?
Oh, clearly you did.
I have no idea, but that's I know Alabama's going to win that game.
Well, of course they're going to win. So what, like if I said you had to bet $10,000 to win $100, you'd be like, wow, that's a lot of money you'd have to put out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you want to win $100 on the money line on Alabama today, you'd have to bet $1 million to win $100.
Do you have that, Dave?
I don't have either right now, the million or the $100. $1 million to win $100 on Alabama on the money line.
Oh, God.
All right. 800-919-3776. Let's get over to the Mets and the Yankees. We start with the Mets. Jeff Wilpon addressed the media in some informal setting last night. He was asked about DeGrom. He was asked about Syndergaard. And here's the thing. He said DeGrom right now and the extension with him is not a priority. That's what he said. That's not me saying it. That's him saying it. It's not a priority. And why would it be? See, the Mets are, you know what the Mets are like? They're like a high school boy that can't think outside of this evening. Boy, she looks so good. Boy, I'd like to kiss her. Boy, I can't even think about tomorrow. That's what they are. The Mets are a high school boy who can't see the forest through the trees. You're not even going to think about. It's not a priority. The guy just won the Cy Young. He's the most dominant pitcher in baseball. He's healthy. He's been a great teammate. He's a great leader. He represents the organization, even if it's not a plan right now. You can't say we intend to get it done at some point. You say it's not a priority. You can't placate the guy a little bit. I mean, it boggles the mind how the Mets handle things sometimes. So that's what they say about Jacob DeGrom. And I don't know why this is. For some reason, everyone is seemingly soured on Noah Syndergaard. You know, if I could get a haul for Noah Syndergaard, I would go ahead and I would do that. And you've heard rumblings about, would you trade Syndergaard for a guy like Real Muto? No! I would love to have Real Muto. I'm not trading Syndergaard all year. Well, Syndergaard, he didn't have a great year. He was 13-4. And I know record doesn't matter, but his numbers were good. And he wasn't even great this year. I thought I was going to have Mats and Harvey and DeGrom and Syndergaard for a decade. Now, Harvey's gone. Mats has never materialized. Wheeler had a nice year last year. But I'm not dealing Syndergaard. The strength of my team is pitching. I'm not going to trade my second best pitcher. He wasn't even good last year. And he was good. Noah Syndergaard probably had a very average season. Well, apparently the Padres have real interest in Noah Syndergaard. Good. Unless I get blown away to the point that I have no choice but to deal him, I'm not dealing him. He's 26? He's probably just touching the prime of his career. You have control over him for 3 years. He had an ERA of 3. If I said to you right now, off the top of your head, did Syndergaard have a great year? You'd say, no. He was not great. He was 13-4 with an ERA of 3. Struck at 155. Walked 39. You trade that? He's 26. You have him forever, seemingly the way the Mets handle themselves. No. Unless I get a deal which is, just over the top, I'm sorry, I'm not trading. I'm not trading him for real Muto. Would I love a nice everyday catcher, or a good everyday catcher, one of the best everyday catchers? Yeah. I'm not trading him. I'm not doing it. So maybe why is it either I have, Nito or real Muto? Is there something in between that I can get? Can I go get a Yasmani Grandal? Like, why do I have to go all the way in? I'm not trading DeGrom. Well, I shouldn't say that. Unless I get overwhelmed to the point where it's, I have to, I'm not trading these guys. I'm not trading any of the three. Mats, you want? You know what make wise, sound decisions in free agency, for God's sakes. You look at what the Mets did last year in free agency. They put a letter grade on Todd Frazier. C-, Jay Bruce. D, Jason Vargas. F, Anthony Swarzak. D, how about some Bs? We can't even do respectfully. Now, it's a clean slate. It's a new regime. It's Van Wagenen, and we'll see what he's capable of doing. But if they go ahead and they move some of their starting pitching, which is by far the best thing that this team has, I don't know. And then you look at the Yankees, and you talk about two polar opposite franchises right now. You have the Mets, and you scratch your head, you're uncertain what they're doing, and then you have the Yankees, who are going to go out and make big splashes. But I'll say this, and I wonder if the Yankees fan really desperately wants Manny Machado. You may say the name Machado and think to yourself, he's going to hit 300, he's going to hit 35, he's going to have 110, but here's the question. And this is the question I think it deems needing to be answered. Are you a better team in October with Manny Machado? Really a better team. And I don't know that the answer is yes. Would I rather fortify the bullpen? Would I rather fortify the starting rotation, or do I want Manny Machado? Now, if it's both, but the thing is, I don't want to, and you know it now, that if you sign him to a 10-year, $300 million deal, by year 7, you're going to be like, oh, God. But you know that. It just doesn't make sense. Does he make you better next year? Yeah. Does he lead you to a World Series? I don't know. Let's be fair. The Yankees were not all that close to winning a World Series last year. They could have played the Red Sox 10 times in a 5-game series. They would have lost 8 of them. Boston was better. Houston was better. Now, does Machado make you better? Yeah. Until everyone turns on him, which will take about 5 minutes. You turned on Giancarlo Stanton in 5 minutes. You don't think you're going to turn on a guy that says hustling's not really my thing quickly? You will, and you should. 800-919-3776. Santiago and Elmont. Santiago, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, Santiago?
First time caller.
Nice. I'm very happy that you placed the call. What's on your mind today?
No, I'm thinking about the Machado situation. Honestly, we have Didi. Yeah, he's hurt. But if this is a lost year and we could get a pitcher either the year after, what's the difference from 20 home runs to 30 home runs, really, when we already got home run hitters? Why not?
You know, but you know what else? I don't think that they believe that Didi is going to miss the entire season. Like I've heard that midway through the season, like by the time you get to next September, you should absolutely have a fully functional Didi Gregorius.
Exactly. So it's 10 home runs really the difference from a $300 million 10-year contract.
Well, I guess the question is this. If you sign Machado and you play him at short, and then Didi comes back and you move him to third and you trade in Duhar, does that work? And I guess the question is, what are you getting for Andujar, and how is Machado here in New York?
We could just sign the pitcher instead. Listen, Bryce Harper.
But where are you going to play Bryce Harper?
You definitely don't play Brett Gardner over him.
But Brett Gardner's not in your starting lineup now anyway. Where are you playing Bryce Harper? You're playing him over Judge?
You could play him over Giancarlo Stanton, have him as a designated hitter.
So you're not going to play Giancarlo Stanton, who makes $30 million a year?
And play him as a DH? That's fine with me. And then have Brett Gardner.
But Stanton is your DH. There's no, unless you're going to play Bryce Harper at first base, there's nowhere for Bryce Harper to play on this team.
I mean, it's better than getting Manny Machado. We already have a shortstop.
But you already have outfielders.
That's true. I mean, honestly, I would love the Yankees to fortify the pitchers because we can't win just with Luis Severino pitching half the year.
No. And that to me, see, and CC, and thanks for the call, Santiago. CC to me, he is what he is at this point. He's a, you know, he'll make spot starts, maybe an inning here or there. You can't rely on him in a big postseason moment. Severino, as good as he was in the first half, that's how bad he was in the second half. Tanaka, I think you kind of trust, but the Yankees starting rotation is, I mean, let's be honest, it's not where it needs to be. And everyone says, yeah, but the bullpen is so good. Yeah, the bullpen is good, but it's not going to get you 18 outs a game. I mean, the mantra for the Yankees in the postseason was, just get us through three. Get us through three. And you see how it changes. You see what the Astros do in the postseason with their bullpen, what the Red Sox do in the postseason with their bullpen. All the starters become available in the bullpen in the postseason. It's a different animal. The Yankees are going to the playoffs. You bring Machado in or not, Didi's here or not, they are going to the playoffs. What the Yankees need to do is get to the next step, and that is to the World Series and beyond. And right now, listen, free agency's got time to run through here, and we don't know what's going to happen up and down the lineup, but right now, I think the Red Sox and the Astros are better teams. Matt in Jersey. Matt, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
What's up, Matt?
So here's the thing. There's a couple things that I wanted to say. One is with Machado, if you sign him 10 years, given his age, you know, you're saying that at 7 years, you're going to be moaning and groaning about that contract. But at 7 years, he's going to be 33, which is really just, you know, at the tail end of his prime. And, you know, if I'm thinking at 36, he's probably still going to be as good as anything you're getting right
Maybe.
Now.
But I mean, but how many times do you have to watch a guy get a 10-year deal and not live up to it, and then the last, like, 3 or 4 or 5 years, like, oh, I can't believe there's 5 years left on this guy.
Yeah, but there's a big difference between being 33 at the end of a, you know, at the tail end of a 10-year deal and being 37. I mean, that's why they didn't want to go all in on Cano, but Machado's a completely different animal. And signing him, even at $30 million, doesn't preclude you from going out and getting, you know, the two best pitchers on the market right now.
Do you like the Jacoby Ellsbury signing?
I mean, Jacoby Ellsbury is an albatross.
I mean, Jacoby Ellsbury's how old now? How long has he been irrelevant for the Yankees? He's just 35. He just turned 35. So at 33, were you loving that deal?
Yeah, but Jacoby Ellsbury was never as good as Manny Machado. And I mean, you already had Gardner. One of the reasons why that Jacoby Ellsbury deal is so bad is because you already had the same exact player on your roster.
So Matt, run through this with me. So Machado, you bring him in and he plays at shortstop, right? He's your everyday shortstop?
Well, I think he's probably going to play third base, and, you know, signing him is going to be
So who's going to be your shortstop?
For the meantime, probably Gleyber Torres.
All right, so now I'm going to sign Machado and then I'm going to deal Andujar. Is that the plan?
Yes.
I mean, I understand it. It doesn't make all that much sense to me. I like Machado. I just think that New York and Machado, and thanks for the call. And you bring up a good point, Matt. I just think that New York and Machado is going to be a recipe for disaster. I do. 800-919-3776. We continue with your calls on the Mets and the Yankees, and we'll get into the Jets and the Giants. We'll go around the NFL. We got Frenzy at 10. We got Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. We got RJ Bell at 11. Here's what you need to know. There's a lot going on, and you can't go anywhere on a Saturday on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
Football Frenzy is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle and Michelle. Here's the deal. We're not messing around anymore. We're week 11 of the NFL season. If anybody's wasting time or, Dave, how's it going? How's your kids? What are you guys doing over for Thanksgiving? Immediately. I mean, we're sitting here enduring the Jets. We're sitting here enduring the Giants. We are not going to endure a lack of a successful frenzy week 11 of the NFL season. That being said, 800-919-3776 at Rothenberg ESPN. Brian,
oh boy,
you lead us off on a Saturday morning football frenzy.
All right, here we go. An easy one for you. Can the Texans extend their winning streak?
Yeah, I mean, they can. They're favored to win the game, of course. Hey, Brian, you're better than that. That's a terrible game.
That's why I said it was an easy one.
That's a terrible way to start.
I wanted to go for another one, but I'll go later on.
Oh, great. Fran in Massapequa. Fran, you're on the frenzy, my friend.
Good morning. Dave, being a huge Bears fan, do you think we have a shot at beating Minnesota, winning the division? What are our chances? Thanks, buddy. Have a great day.
I'd say yes, yes, 40% chance to win the division. I still think that Minnesota is the elite of the division, and I think they will win the game tomorrow night. I mean, tomorrow night will really define it. If the Bears win tomorrow, you got to love their chances to win this division. If Minnesota wins tomorrow, you like their chances. Bears are 2.5-point favorites. Games at home, win it, and you love the chances. I just, in a huge moment, I don't love Mitch Trubisky. 800-919-3776 on Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN. Andrew Somerset. Andrew, you're on the frenzy.
Dave, I can start a fantasy question for you. I can start 3 out of 5, two in my receiver positions, one in my flex. Mike Evans, Sterling Shepard, Marlon Mack, Emmanuel Sanders and Amari Cooper. Let me just tell you, I'm a little bit skeptical of Evans only because last few games, Fitzpatrick's been throwing to him.
You got to really play. You got to play Evans. You got to play Mack. I would sit Sterling Shepard of that bunch. I mean, if you're not going to play Mike Evans, don't play fantasy football. You have to play him. John in Springfield. John, you're on the frenzy.
Who's your favorite quarterback in this draft, not named Justin Herbert, and your ideal quarterback?
Good question. You know, the problem is I haven't seen a ton of Drew Locke. I know that the kid from Duke is, and I like that kid because he's, you know, being groomed by David Cutcliffe, who worked with Peyton and Eli, and he really likes him a lot. And he's number 2 on Kuiper's big board for quarterbacks right now. You know, I know it's kind of a cop-out answer. I don't really have one. I guess it would be Jones or Locke right now. But I haven't sat here and studied these guys yet. Let's go to Vin in Flanders. Vin, you're on the frenzy.
Is Eli Manning the quarterback for the Giants for the rest of the season?
No. I mean, it would be ridiculous because there's nothing to prove. You're not going anywhere. The only thing I'd say is if you want to play Eli until you are out of it, you know, until, like, Beckham has this pipe dream that we're going to run the table and go 9-7. So if you want to play Eli until you lose another game, I'm fine with it. But at some point, you want to play Kyle Lauletta, at least to get a look at what the kid is capable or the opposite, not capable of doing. Eddie Ocean Parkway, you're on the frenzy, Ed.
Can't we name Trubisky's name to Trubisky?
Yeah, that would be a great idea. I think that they should do that. John in New Hyde Park. John, you're on the frenzy.
White meat or dark meat for turkey?
White meat. I mean, it's not a football question, but it's a nice question if we're just doing random questions. I'm a white meat guy. For the record, my dad is a dark meat guy. Tim in Rockaway. Tim, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, I was wondering, you think the Atlanta Falcons can turn the season around, sneak into the playoffs?
Not anymore. I would have been all over that up until the loss to Cleveland. I mean, you lose to Cleveland, and really you almost shouldn't have a chance at going to the postseason. But they got off to an awful start. They righted the ship. They got to 4-4. You could see promising games in late November and December, and they went on the road, and they lost to Cleveland. So, obviously, needless to say, you got to win tomorrow, but I don't love their chances anymore. Joe in Jersey, you're on the frenzy, Joey.
Hi. Would you keep Todd Bowles if you're the New York Jets?
No. What about keeping Todd Bowles, unless you're talking about for the rest of the season, which I wouldn't even do then, but next year? God, no. No. Chris and Bethpage, you're on the frenzy, Chris.
Dave, you're involved in the all-time draft for pro football players. Brady and Montana have already come off the board. You have the third pick. Do you take Lawrence Taylor or a quarterback?
I take Peyton Manning would be my third selection. That's not a bad question. 800-919-3776 on Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN. Brian, you claim to have a better question just waiting in reserve. Now would be the time.
This one's a little decent. It's a little better. It might hurt Misha's feelings, though. Will the Eagles make the playoffs?
No. I'm not looking to make friends with Michelle. All right, Michelle is an Eagles fan. I like her in spite of her being a Philadelphia Eagles fan. You know what would be great? How great would it be if the Eagles were just like a one-hit wonder? Just like they had this run, and it never happened again. Carson Wentz, stop buzzing me, Michelle. I'm on the middle of a tirade. If Carson Wentz just never materialized, and this is sincere, the fact that the Eagles are 4-5 right now is an embarrassment. They lost to Tampa Bay. They lost to the Bucs. They lost at home to the Cowboys. Every time you think, well, the Eagles are going, they take a step back. And RJ Bell had a great stat yesterday. This game tomorrow, week 11, is the first time the Eagles haven't been favored. First time they haven't been favored this season. By the way, New Orleans won 23 in a row at home. 800-919-3776. Roger in Plainview. Roger, you're on the frenzy.
Will Nick Mullins be traded on draft night?
I would say it's unlikely, and even if he is, I mean, what is the value of Nick Mullins? Nick, if you trade for Nick Mullins, you're in essence trading for a backup quarterback at best. Andrew Long Beach. Andrew, you're on the frenzy.
Do the Giants end up with a top five draft pick?
Yes. Yeah, because outside of this game, I don't know that there's a whole lot winnable for this team right now. 800-919-3776. Joe at Yankee Stadium. Look at that. We're going to the Bronx. Joe, you're on the frenzy.
Three cheers, baby. Pick two. Tyreek, Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks.
Pick two. Absolutely Tyreek Hill, and I go Mike Evans. I got to tell you, I think that the Bucs are going to go up and down the field tomorrow. They went up and down the field against a Redskins defense. They're going to go up and down the field tomorrow. Ryan in the car. Ryan, close us out here.
Over the course of the next 3 years, based on talent, Jets or Browns win more games? Thank you.
It's not fair because, I mean, each team has a ton of money in free agency, and each team doesn't even have their coach. Right now, I'd say Browns, but the Jets could be a more talented team by week one of the start of next season. So I don't think it's really all that fair of a question. All right, Mish. There you go. Did we offend you with the negative Eagles talk?
Yes, and well, you didn't even ask me for a football friend.
You said you were not feeling well today. I didn't know that you were prepared with the question.
I had a question.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. And this is because I like you, not because you're an Eagles fan. When we start Stump Rothenberg at 10:30, you will lead it off.
Sounds good to me.
How's that?
Sounds good to me.
You have a question ready?
Yeah.
All right, good.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
And we'll do that in just a quick moment, 800-919-3776. That Giants conversation, the Big Blue Report, was brought to you by Volvo of Glen Cove, the number one dealer in the country. Visit their winning team at Volvo Cars Glen Cove and drive off with confidence and your new Volvo. And, of course, do that today. So 800-919-3776. 7-6. It's a hot segment. I mean, people around the country are discussing it. They want involvement. Michelle, I was not kind to you before. I didn't give you a chance to participate in the football frenzy. So why don't you start out a Saturday morning edition of Stump Rothenberg?
Okay, cool. So, Dave, what was the most common name given to girls in the U.S. in the year 1995?
I'm thinking Jessica. I was thinking Jessica. Can I work through it for a minute?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sarah, Emily. I don't know. Those are my I'll go Sarah. I'll go Emily. Rebecca? I clearly don't know it.
What is it? Ashley.
Ashley's a terrible name. Is it really Ashley?
Yes, Ashley.
Really? And this is what, 25 years ago you're talking? 23 years ago?
Yep.
Ashley. So I don't know any Ashley.
I know a whole bunch of Ashleys.
No, you don't. Brian, do you know any Ashley?
Yes, my sister-in-law.
All right. There look at the grin on her face. She's so happy that I shouldn't have given you this start out question. Because usually Ty gets the start out question. He asks me some ridiculous question. I get it right, and we move along. All right, here we go. Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
What's up, Dave?
What's up? Now, Mike, where are you going with the question? What's the genre?
I'm going movies this time.
Okay.
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 What are Christian Slater's top two highest grossing movies ever? And there's a hint. He wasn't top billed in either of these two movies.
So he was like a secondary character in these movies?
Correct.
So it's not True Romance then?
Nope.
Interview with the Vampire.
There's one.
You know what was a great Christian Slater movie? It was Gleaming the Cube, but I'm sure that's not it.
I watched that last weekend. I love that movie.
Oh, it's a good movie. Young Guns.
No.
He was prominent in Murder in the First. He's been in some terrible movies. Robin Hood?
Robin Hood is the second movie. Good job,
Dave.
There
you go. There you go. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. All right, 800-919-3776. I like Christian Slater. I think he's very underrated. Mike in Manalapan. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What genre are you going here?
Sports. I'm going to stick with sports.
I love, great. Ask me where someone went to college.
No,
I'm just kidding. Go wherever you want.
Okay. There are two sports, and only two, that are exempt to left-handed play. You must participate as a right-hander only.
Really?
Yep.
Sports exempt from left-handed play.
Exactly.
Are they popular sports?
Yeah.
Are they really sports?
They're notable. They're real sports. They're actually.
They're
sports,
real sports.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like some old British thing that's been gone for 300 years. No, they play the sport now. You've heard of them?
Is field hockey one?
Nope.
Boy. Polo.
Polo is one. Very good.
Yeah. Well, I figured. Oh! The wrong way on the horse. I might need a hint on the second one. It's got to be a stick game. Is it a stick? Is it something involving a stick?
Not really. It's a sport that's popular for its gambling. People gamble on this sport.
Highlight.
There you go.
There we go. There we go. That's where we go, Michelle. Look at that. That's nice. Two in a row. Paulie Long Island. Paul, you, my friend, are on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave, it's a movie question.
A movie question.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
There is a scene where they have to rescue somebody. And that person who they rescue is wearing a shirt that Brad Pitt was previously involved with. Do you know the shirt? Or movie.
Wait. He's wearing a shirt that Brad Pitt was previously involved with?
Yeah, like...
What do you mean involved? Like he dated the woman that's on the shirt?
No, it was a movie shirt. Like a movie poster shirt. that Brad Pitt was in.
Yeah, I will say that it was a poster. What's a big? So it's probably a big Brad Pitt movie. That movie's like 05, 06. So what was he in around that time? Let's say, God, I really don't have any idea. So it's probably like a 90s movie. Thelma and Louise.
Would you like another guess?
I'd like a hint.
Okay. He was the co-leading star, so two male stars.
Two male stars. Seven.
No. It was Fight Club.
What was it?
Fight Club.
All right, Fight Club with Ed Norton. All right.
I have a lot of knowledge.
Michelle, I want to ask you. Do you consider that to be a good question?
I think that question is actually pretty hard because I don't think anyone is paying attention to that.
Do you think that's a good question? Is that a good piece of trivia?
It's an okay trivia question.
See, you'll never take my... You hate me. You know what?
I don't.
You don't care for me.
I care for you a lot, Dave.
You think so?
Yeah.
If I needed a kidney, would you give it to me?
Yeah.
You would give me a kidney?
Yeah, I would.
I almost hope my kidney fails just to test and see if you would give it to me.
I would give my kidney to you.
Well, that's very sweet.
If it helps to save your life.
You're very nice. Let's go to Robert in Manhattan. Robert, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
This is a history question.
Okay.
Which state within the United States and its territorial history has been under more flags than any other? What's the state, how many flags, and what were they and are they?
Wait, what do you mean? I don't know.
Which state has had the most flags? In its history. Different flags.
But what do you mean, what are they?
Well, what were they? What were they and are they different flags? Different flags in its history. There is one state that has had more flags under its, of being ruled by others than the United States. That's obviously.
Yeah, so it's a state that has had the most state flags in the history of this country.
No, not state flags. Different flags of different places, countries.
What country has had the most? I'm confused by this question. What country has had the most flags?
No. There is one state within the United States, one state that has been under more flags.
Louisiana.
No.
Oh.
What's the answer? Because I don't like this
question. Texas, and I'll tell you how many.
I don't care. Texas. All right, let's move on. 800-919-3776. If no one can understand the question, then it's a bad question. Brian, did you have any idea what he was talking about?
I kind of figured what he was trying to say, but
it
came out really...
right?
Yeah, but I knew it was Texas. I was like, it has to be Texas. I said either Texas or Florida. You can ask me.
I was getting frustrated. Dion in Queens. Dion, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. My question involves Hollywood.
Am I
going to
understand it? Forget about if I get it or not. Will I even comprehend the question?
Absolutely. That last caller, it was confusing me, but... My question is, in 1986, which NFL player made his TV acting network debut on NBC's The A-Team?
That's not a bad question. 86.
I'll give you a
hint. Fred Williamson was before. Was he still active in 86?
Yes.
It's not Lawrence Taylor, is it?
No.
And did he become a somewhat big actor?
I wouldn't say a big actor, but he was a very popular football player.
Very popular football player. So
even to this day.
And it's obviously not Jim Brown, because he was way before that. It's not Merlin Olsen.
Do you want a hint?
It's not OJ, right?
No.
I'll take a hint.
He was an NFC lineman.
That's not much of a hint.
NFC North?
NFC North. So is he a Vikings lineman?
No.
No. I don't know.
William the Refrigerator Perry.
All right. You play that with such glee.
I have a lot of knowledge.
These questions are very obscure. Brian, you have one?
I have a lot of knowledge.
Do you have one, Brian?
Yes, I do have one. Where is the smallest bone in the body?
Smallest bone. So I'm thinking it's probably a finger. Oh, or it could be the ear. Because I know there are bones in the ear. I'm going to say the ear. Thank you. You tried to trick me with finger, but I knew it wasn't finger.
Got another one for you, too.
Is it a good one?
It should be.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. Tomorrow is Mickey Mouse's birthday.
90.
Dang it.
Thank you. Was I cheating on that? Mike in Manhasset. I just want to get one more and we'll call it a day. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
All right. So do you want to do where they went to college or a question about Rick and Chris?
No, I'm with them enough. Give me where they went to college.
All right. Paul George.
Paul George, I think, went to Fresno State.
All right. One for one. What about...
Wait. How many do I have to get?
Just one more.
Uh-huh.
George Hill.
IUPUI.
Well,
that'll be it. And we'll call that an edition of Stump Rothenberg. Brian, was I cheating?
No, you weren't. You were not cheating there.
That's even thrown out. You know what it is? Here's what it is. Rick is a great guy, but he's intimidated by my immense knowledge, so he has to try to bring me down.
I have a lot of knowledge.
And that's his way. A lot of knowledge. IUPUI. Do you know what IUPUI stands for, Brian?
Nope.
Indiana University, Purdue University at Indianapolis. IUPUI.
That's a long abbreviation.
Could you imagine if every time they scored, they said Indiana University, Purdue University at Indianapolis? No. IUPUI. We get
still
back
long,
to the
though.
What'd you say?
It's still long for an abbreviation.
Well, it's going to be long regardless. When you have Indiana, Purdue, and Indianapolis, it's going to be long.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
By the way, RJ, you think any other host on this station takes the time to get to know you like this?
I'll be honest with you, Dave. It's why I, as a fan, as a man who doesn't have to care about dollars and cents, if I could abstract myself, I'm a huge fan of yours. You know, you bring a little personality. You know, and then you let your personality come out a little bit, and some of that's good and some of that's bad. But the bad part.
Wait a minute. You were giving me a compliment. What's bad about
it? You are. How old are you?
This is getting personal. I'm 45.
Okay. So I think you're at that crossroads. You're not sure where your career is going to end up.
I'm pretty confident.
Yeah. And because of that, though, I mean, like if you were 62 and today was your last day on the radio.
Right.
And this is as high as you had gotten. You'd be disappointed.
Really?
I mean, you tell me.
Well, you're telling me that I'd be disappointed.
No, I'm asking.
Why would I be disappointed?
You can only know yourself. I don't know you better than you.
I mean, I'm doing daytime radio in the number one market in the country.
I know. It's an amazing accomplishment.
I'm not in just some two-bit Vegas town.
You just wonder where it's going.
A little bit of wind and the city goes under.
Yeah. You just wonder where you're going from here. That's all. And because of that insecurity, and I think most broadcasters have insecurity. See, I'm not a broadcaster. Right, I might have a national radio show on 200 stations, but that doesn't mean that I think I'm a broadcaster. I just know a lot of things, and I share them, right? You're a broadcaster, and usually you were the kid who was, like, not in the action. You were kind of commenting on the action. Is that fair to say?
Boy, you know, I want to get back to these games because you're a nasty son of a gun today. I mean, you're taking shots.
But see, Dave, you're missing the point. If I make you more human to your audience, they're going to see your foibles. They're going to say, you know.
Oh, they see my foibles every day.
Exactly. See, I'm just human. This is Howard Stern level stuff here. Instead, you're saying, oh, no, let's not get into my high school career.
I don't even know what to say. I thought you and I had a wonderful relationship. You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Let's talk about Bengals-Ravens. Now, this has been off the board all week. Lamar's going to start in this game. No Flacco, it sounds like. What's the number that you're hearing about this one?
Yeah, this is fascinating. Let me ask you if you were just, you know, as a fan, if you said Flacco or RG3 or Lamar Jackson this week, how do you stack rank them?
For me, I would go RG3 last. And I think I'd go the unknown and the potential of Lamar Jackson first.
Okay. It's exactly the opposite. So Flacco is first, even if he's banged up a little bit. Then, assuming a healthy Flacco, just for reference, 2.5-point downgrade to RG3, and then 1.5 to Lamar Jackson. So the marketplace is saying, now, if Jackson does start, this line could be 3, 3.5, or 4. If it would have been Flacco, it would have been probably 7.5 or 8. That's our guess, and we'll see. I will say I tend to agree, if I could have 10% of the earnings of Lamar Jackson or RG3, I'd much rather midterm, long-term have Lamar Jackson.
I just think the unknown with Lamar Jackson is wild. Like, I could see him going out there and being very mediocre tomorrow. I could see him going out there and everyone saying, ah, and that's why he was a first-round pick.
Now, what's fascinating is a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, bet teasers. What are teasers? You get, you have to bet 2 games, but you get 6 points of advantage in each of your games. So you can take a 7-point favorite, make them a 1-point favorite, right? You want to avoid teasers in games that are high variance, in games that could go one way extremely or the other. I think you're right, especially because if they don't have any idea, if they have some set of plays for Lamar that won't work in week 3 or 4, right? Like the Wildcat, right? When it came out against Miami, did against the Pats, even Belichick didn't know what to do with it, right? So maybe game 1, Lamar has an advantage. But I think this season, until Lamar gets some real experience, remember, with the new union agreement, the backup quarterbacks hardly get any snaps in practice. So I'm not sure this whole idea, you can learn the playbook, but I think Lamar Jackson's going to need a lot of time. He's a project, right? That's why someone with those physical gifts went so late in the first round. I don't think the first start is going to be a good one.
All right. Bengals defense is horrendous.
3 straight games giving up 500 yards. First team in the Super Bowl era to do that. Cincinnati.
Well, we will see. If I were betting on this one, I took them in my picks against the guys yesterday, I took the Ravens.
But listen, Hugh Jackson's there, so it could all be different.
Yes, it changes the entire dynamic of everything in that one. I mean, why not bring Hugh Jackson back there? All right, you know what? Since you seem to be controlling this show, you want to do Vikings and Bears, you want to come back and do Vikings and Bears?
If I were controlling this show...
you're controlling everything. You're taking complete control. You told us your life history.
Show, Dave,
you've demeaned me.
This would be a whole different... We'd be learning about when you lost your virginity. We'd be learning about all kind of stuff.
That's Monday on the show.
Your substance abuse problems in the past. Well, oh, wait, never mind.
Well, what do you think? I live half my life in the gutter?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not saying you did, but let's be honest. A lot of radio guys, they do the night shift. You know, they're like truckers, right? I'm not saying you.
You're not being very nice today.
I just said you're the exception.
Uh-huh. You want to do all I asked if you want to do Vikings Bears now or in 3 minutes from now?
3 minutes.
All right. Vikings Bears, we'll analyze that. We'll go around the NFL. We'll take your calls, 800-919-3776, and we'll see what other snarky comments RJ Bell has on a Saturday on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
And I get a tweet, says, Dave, you're amazing. I've never heard RJ Bell this fired up.
So is that implying you're engendering the passion for
me? Yeah, I'm pushing all your buttons is what's
so
happening.
So somehow what he was really saying is, Dave, you should be more of a producer. Find talent like RJ, irritate them, and then we're going to see all the passion and the listeners benefit. By the way, you can sell your mic. He's really code for what they just said.
You see, you're missing the point. The point is that, Dave, you have this unbelievable innate talent where you can lead. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, your personality is... it's pedestrian at best. And the fact that I can drag this out of you is a testament to the dynamic radio host that I am, RJ.
I'll give you that one. I mean, it was funny. I'll say that. I mean, right, true. Funny things don't have to be true, but it was funny.
All right. 800-919-3776. Let's bring in Bob in Manhattan. Bob, have at it. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Bell, what do you think of teasing down the Saints and the Chargers?
Okay, so teasers, as we just mentioned, 6 points is the typical teaser. You can pay more and get seven or whatever. Here's what you want to do. You want to tease down through the key numbers of 7 and 3. So our guy right here has got some pretty good instincts. So think about, for example, New Orleans. Let's say the line's 8. Now you're laying 2 instead of 8. That's the best teaser. In fact, it has a name. It's called an advantage teaser. Why? Because if all you did was tease up through 3 and 7 or down through 3 and 7. So let's say a 2-point dog to an 8-point dog or an 8-point favorite to a 2-point favorite. If you just did that and played it blindly, you'd about break even. So now if you can add just a little bit of handicapping, whereas the Saints, let's say in this case, are a good bet, now you actually have a winner. Now, the Chargers are only 7, so you're not really going through it. You're buying off it, but it's about as good as you can get with a teaser. And, oh, by the way, I like the Saints. Even
cover
laying
the number, huh?
Yeah, I don't like the number being that high, but I'll tell you, the second most beat-up unit in the NFL.
Eagles secondary.
Yes, and the first would be Washington's O-line. So to me, against Drew Brees, who is having perhaps the best season in the history of the NFL so far, if you just look at quarterback rating, no quarterback after 9 games has been as good as Drew Brees has been this year. And at home, this is pretty amazing. When the Saints have a winning record and they have a home game, they've won 23 straight games. And they've covered, I think it's 18-4-2. I'm going by memory. So the crowd's going to be in it. This, and Philly is defensively against the pass, big trouble. I like the Saints. Tease it down. I like it even more. I think the Chargers, I think that game's too cheap. It's only favored by 7 over Denver. Denver on the road is 2-12 last 14. Chargers have only lost to the Rams and only lost to the Chiefs. I actually like that teaser a good bit.
All right, let's get into the Vikings-Bears. Huge game tomorrow night. Here's my take on it, and then you can certainly analyze it. It feels to me like Minnesota is back. Diggs is supposed to be back. Cook is back. I know Thielen was a little banged up, but he's going to play. Cousins has been good on the road. And for me, RJ, in a huge spot, I just don't, and I won't, trust Mitch Trubisky. So for me, I'll take the Vikings and the point in this one, and the points in this one.
Yeah, probably my, in fact, this is one I've got in my pocket, +3, -120, and I had to lay a little extra to get to 3, but it was worth it. I love the Vikings here. And here's something that is probably you've never heard, our listeners have never heard. We all, and let me be candid, I have a lot of math in my background, but not even close to as much math as, let's say, a community college PhD. That's what's funny, right? On one hand, the average person has little math, right? Because they went to high school, maybe they got a communications degree, whatever. Maybe they were radio hosts, whatever it is.
Well, you're taking shots.
No, not at all. What are you talking about? But they have little to no math. Then you got a guy like me that's got a lot of math, but hardly any relative to the guys that really know math, right? And that's what this industry, and I mean sports or sports betting, is full of, is a lot of kind of quasi-math guys, guys that are half-math guys. Like they're the best guy, if it's basketball is the analogy, they can go to the local park in the suburbs, and they might be the best guy there. But if they go into Brooklyn and play in the best street game, they don't have a chance. Forget about playing in the, you know, G League, right? And forget the NBA. So my point is,
Did you pick Minnesota, Chicago?
I'm trying to teach the New York area something, Dave. Just you relax for a minute. Here's the thing that really is true. People want to think they're smart, and they look at yards per play. Oh, look at this. Look at that. Here's what we know. NFL teams throughout a 16-game season are rarely the same team each week. If it's injuries, if it's matchups, if it's situational spots where they have to, like, look at Green Bay. Green Bay actually should have got upgraded for what happened against Seattle because they were playing their third road game in 4 weeks on half rest, 3 days rest on a Thursday, and they had traveled 10,000 miles plus in the prior 19 days, and they still almost covered and almost won. To me, that was a good performance by Green Bay. But the computer guys are just going to say, ah, they lost again. Oh, 2.5, they lost. They lost by 3. So to me, Minnesota, to bring it back around, Minnesota today is probably the best team they've been because of injuries, because Cousins is more integrated into the offense. So if you look at the season-long stats, I think Minnesota is going to be underrated because today's Minnesota team is better than those teams weeks ago.
All right. You already told us that you like the Saints laying the whatever it is, 8.5. Do you go up to 9? You still like the Saints?
You know, key numbers, 8, 8.5 aren't key numbers. 9 starts to be, especially 3 field goals, obviously. So I don't bet. I'm not even going to bet it. Here's what I'll say. I would bet it at 7. I won't bet it between 7.5 and 9.5. At 10, I would take the dog. But if I had to lean, I would lean in those numbers, 7.5, 8, 8.5, 9, on the Saints.
Let's go to Ryan in Long Island. Ryan, you're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's going on, Ryan?
Yeah, not too much. Hey, listen, I'm glad you're on the topic of the Bears and the Vikings. I'm actually a Terps, personally. So I love the fact Stephon Diggs is coming back. My only problem is I don't really see the Vikings pulling this one out against the Bears. Just mainly because, one, it's just, even with Thielen being a little bit banged up and coming in, this is an outdoor game. And I think this shifts the parameters completely. What do you guys think?
It's an interesting question, right? Minnesota has one of the best home fields in the NFL that people don't talk about. I would make the case they're the fourth best home field behind.
Let me see if I can guess the first three. New Orleans.
Yep.
Kansas City.
Nope.
Really?
Remember, this is sophisticated.
Green Bay.
Go ahead.
Is Green Bay 2?
Yes. Well, they're in there.
They're one of the three. So Green Bay, New Orleans, you have Minnesota 4, and there's one more I'm looking for, huh?
It's obvious if you think about it.
It's got to be the Buffalo Bills, guys.
Yeah, it got to be Buffalo. Is it New England?
No, it's Seattle.
All right.
Think of Seattle's probably number one. I would say Seattle's 1, Green Bay's 2, and Saints are 3. But here's why Kansas City, New England's not on the list. It's not just how good you are at home. It's how good you are at home relative to how good you are on the road. Kansas City's a heck of a road team. So they got a heck of a home field in a vacuum, but relative to the road play. The Patriots are the best road team. Now, this year, not so much, but in general. So it's one of those things. How much extra do you gain? Think about how bad Green Bay is on the road. Last 7 years, all through Aaron Rodgers' prime, Green Bay is like 5 games below 500. Straight up on the road. They've actually can't win half their games on the road. Right? Saints are not good on the road. Seattle's not good on the road. So that's the key.
All right, 800-919-3776. Here's the question: you want to do one more? You want to? I mean, because you're the guy we got into Harvard. Let's go.
Let's go questions, because I love the way the callers always say, "RJ, it's great to talk to you." Dave. Hey, how are you? And then RJ, I got a question. Like, to me, that makes me feel good.
You know what it is? Here's what it is, RJ. They're comfortable with me. I'm not a guy that's going to strike fear into them. They're still on edge with you. They don't know you. The New York area, the New York market is just learning who you are.
It's true. And I can promise you this, is when I finally have that pile that I can retire, I'm going to be living in Manhattan.
Is that right?
Oh, no doubt. There's only two cities that I really love, and one's Vegas and one's Manhattan. I go to L.A. a bunch for business. I enjoy L.A. It's just, to me, man, I mean, I'm a fan of all the 80s and 70s movies set in New York. I mean, I love 3 Days
mean
of the
streets,
Condor.
Right? I'm gonna bet you love Mean Streets.
Oh, God. I love Goodfellas. I love Mean Streets. And I love, like, the the movies that are more about, like, the truth of New York. Like, let's think about this. That Jay McElhaney book. I forget the name of it right now. But I love, like, the Brett Ellis stuff, American Psycho. I know that's
I'm not
like
a fan of that. That's weird.
Oh, the movie or the book?
I don't read the movie.
The movie is weird. The book is actually very intense, but it's a great feel for like the I guess I love Billion. I know we got to
run. Billions is a great TV show,
and that's what I'm saying. It really shows you if you're like a successful person in New York. You've got a life unlike any other city. Warren Buffett's in Omaha, right? He's got billions, but he doesn't have a life like Axe does, right? Because Axe lives in the city, and to me, I love movies. So there's no better city for movies than New York.
I have a question for you.
I'm ready.
All right. If you have the $5,000 to charity, right? The winner has to give $5,000 to charity. You and Canty with your pick segment.
Yes.
Okay. Would you pay $10,000? To the charity of, and this can't happen, but I'm just asking you, would you pay $10,000 to the charity of my choice right now? No one would ever know about it. And you come back and you beat Canty and he has to give $5,000 to your charity.
Oh, no, because you know something? I'm always, first of all, I'm impressed with his picking. He had one really bad pick. Let's be clear. The Patriots, when they covered on Monday night.
He gets very lucky.
That was luck, okay? But I'm a big fan if you know the right questions to ask. I know Greg Cosell, big part of ESPN, he's on our show. I feel like I learned more from that segment because I know what to ask him that I don't know the answer to that Greg does. And when I'm on with Canty, I'm always asking him things from the locker room because I've never been an NFL player, right? So to me, he's got insights others don't. But all that said, let's be honest, Dave. If he wins, this is what you call a free roll. One, it's for charity. Two, in a more Machiavellian sense, if he wins, next season we'll probably up at the 10, and it'll be like a huge 17-week thing.
So you're almost toying with him.
I'm trying. But to me, if I win, the next year I get to rub it in his face the whole year. But now if he wins, it's going to be, oh my gosh, RJ lost, Canty won. What's going to happen this year? So it's like a reality show.
If I were you, I would be horrified to lose to him.
Well, see, I don't have to deal with them every day.
But this is what you do for a living. You're the master of, I mean, Vegas, there are casinos that were built on your back.
But
RJ,
if, with my losers.
You can't lose to Canty.
This is what I would say. I told you guys the first day. I said, I'm going to win long-term 55%. He's going to win 51. In the course of 10 or 12 weeks, it's very easy for him to win. So, and again, I'll tell you this.
So right now, would you give $2,000 to his charity and call it a bet?
No, that's interesting. I think that's what poker players do a lot is if they do bets that can you lose 100 pounds and all that, they'll do buyouts, right? Based on today's reality, do you want to buy out? No, I think I'm probably negative 20% right now. So if it was just pure math, I would buy out for $1,000, but I wouldn't buy out.
You would buy out for $1,000.
Probably because we don't.
Very weak-minded of you.
Or it's just statistically correct, and if you don't understand stats like Dave, you think it's weak-minded. One or the other, I'll say. But the fact of the matter is, there's not that many weeks left. I got to pick up two games. Now, we are going through the Super Bowl.
All the way through the Super Bowl.
You're right. But there's a chance we're going to pick the same game some of those weeks in the playoffs because there's only a handful of games.
You know, I would still bet on you.
Well, let me say this before we go. Is I will give you, if you give me plus 120 on a bet next year, we can do it, or the rest of this year, and we'll flip a coin for my side, pure random, and I'll do it like live stream so we know it's a fair flip, and you get to pick, and we'll bet, let's say for charity, and we'll keep it low, $1,000, but if I win, I get $1,200 for my charity. So you're going against a coin flip. And I only want plus 120. I'm guessing you're not going to do that.
How are you going to pick a game against a coin flip?
I can say it's always the Monday night game. I'll flip it on, with a stream. And if it's A, it's a home, or if it's heads, it's a home team. Or there's a way we can random. We can take the Malmuth track handle. And if it's an odd number, I take the home team. If it's an even number, I'll take the road team.
All right. We'll figure something out. I think we should do that.
Because you're not that much. You are barely over a coin flip.
Wow. You're a bad guy. I think we've evidenced that, if nothing else.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.